Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Mic drop, exit. Three different teams. The MVP in the finals for all three, Cleveland, Miami, and the Lakers. That has never been done before in NBA history. And I hope we don't lose sight of the fact that we are watching one of the greatest players in NBA history. Yes, he's polarizing. Yes, he's controversial. Yes, he's graded on and off the floor. But just to sit back and relax and just think for a moment, we don't reflect anymore in society. It's go, 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 go. Instead of comparing him to Michael Jordan, how about just standing on your own merits? How about the fact that other than last year when he had the groin injury, he could have been the MVP every single year of the last decade.
By the way, when he got hurt, they were in third place in the West.
That was on Christmas
Day.
Third
place in the West.
And they were cruising.
We beat Golden State.
On Christmas Day, big win. LeBron got hurt. Things weren't the same, but LeBron fueled, recharged, ready to go. LeBron was more driven in the bubble, more driven, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
I love that our 10-year drought seems like 200 years.
It's like
people.
A famine. It's a famine.
Because I just told Jay Will, I was like, wait a minute, man. I know it's been 10 years and everybody expects for the Lakers to win a championship like every other year. But, you know, the Golden State Warriors did get really, really good, right? And there was another guy in Cleveland named LeBron James at once upon a time. But then I said, well, what about Miami?
That's something they wanted was 2013, Miami.
Yeah, so when you start looking at those years, mm-hmm. you're like, well, come on, give us a break.
With the King, I want to mention one thing. We're going to get some NFL discussion in just a bit, including on whether Key thinks the Cowboys can win the division with Andy Dalton and the NFL's most pathetic franchise looking like they are legit contenders. That's in just a minute or so. LeBron loves this speech. LeBron has always motivated himself. Jay, you've always talked about how do you consistently motivate yourself in the grind of a season. There is a speech that is called the Man in the Arena speech. It was uttered by Teddy Roosevelt, our 26th president, 110 years ago. And the speech is something that LeBron absolutely, positively loves because he has put it on his shoes. He's put the word man in the arena on his shoes. He had the entire quote from the Roosevelt speech that was given in Paris in 1910 in his locker. And I just want to give you, think about LeBron and all the polarization that's gone on around this guy and everything people say about him on and off the floor. And I want you to listen to this. This is an excerpt of the speech that LeBron has consistently referenced over the years. This is 110 years ago. Quote, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or whether the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. In other words, there's no risk without reward. I did it. I was in it. And y'all that are criticizing me have never been in the fight. You got no idea how it feels. Unbelievable."
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, there's some truth to that. There's no question about it. And when you have been in situations or in battle in sports like LeBron James or Jay Will at Duke for that matter, when people criticize you about your play or who you are on and off
the
court,
it's a compliment.
It's basically a compliment.
It's a compliment, man.
It really is. I've always said in my own personal career, that's because you like me. You wouldn't even be sitting up watching me and paying attention. I understand you may dislike some of the things, but at the end of the day, you like me. That's why you... Never almost said something. That's why you mess with me.
You're so on point with this. And we live in this vacuum world where everything has to be extreme. Either you're a hater or you're a praiser, right? Because we this whole medium that we live in through social media, people only hear tidbits, right? So I'm a grown man who can sit up here and say, I've said LeBron James is the best player I've ever seen play the game of basketball. I have him as the greatest player of all time. It doesn't mean that people are perfect human beings. Like, we all live in this world where you talk, you break down different scenarios, right? We live in a world of being complex, Key. It's a world of being complex, right? So, look, LeBron James, I've never seen a player like him. Fourth title, it's insane. Different parts of the journey, though, like, that's what we do. People talk about different parts of the journey, and that's okay. But like I said, all this stuff fuels him, and it should, because that continues to drive him to see the greatness that we continue to see.
And as far as being the greatest player of all times and all that, I've enjoyed watching Kareem because I had the opportunity to see him. I've enjoyed knowing Michael and watching Michael. Kobe, LeBron, Shaq. So I can't never say, well, he's better than him. Because they all are great. I enjoy all of them. And as I said in sports, and I'll continue to say in sports, there's only one guy that I've enjoyed out of the big three that I could clearly say was better than everybody at a position.
Go for it.
Jerry Rice. Mm. That's it.
At your position.
At the position I happen to play, but at any position, he's the only guy that you could say clearly. There is no argument. There's an argument on who the greatest running back was. There's an argument on who the greatest whether it was Joe Montana or whether it's Tom Brady or what. There's all those arguments, but that's the only position in all of sports that you never hear anybody say anything.
And I said this on Countdown. I know I said that about LeBron, but as I continue to evolve as a person.
Yeah, for the six people that are listening.
And Gretzky. As I continue to evolve, though, like there's something incredible about not getting lost in the vacuum, once again, of always dissecting who the greatest is and actually – just enjoy the art.
Man, I enjoy the art,
right? It's a blank canvas. Every time he paints that brush, you're like, wow.
It's
a Picasso in the making every time.
Just think about having the fortune to be able to see Kareem live in person as a kid. Magic Johnson. Being friends with Kobe as well as Michael Jordan and seeing them play live in person. Shaq playing LeBron and live in person and knowing all of them. Sit back and embrace that and enjoy that. That's the way you do it. Because nobody's going to be the same because Jordan didn't play in 10 finals. So his is not ever going to be the same as LeBron. He didn't have a chance to lose multiple finals after the six that he won. And LeBron's going to have an opportunity to win six because he's continuing to play. So just enjoy it.
You mentioned Kareem. Kareem, Mr. Skyhook himself, will be with us tomorrow.
The cap, baby.
The captain at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Looking forward to that. So I would just lastly say, LeBron loves the speech, the man in the arena, and the last man standing in the arena after the NBA 74th season.
It's just interesting, though, because when you bring up Michael, and Michael Jordan is incredible, but you know Michael does have six championships, right? But you talk about the longevity. We talk about the six championships, though. But Michael did play in the league from 85 into 2003, right? On and off, granted.
Well, we talk about the ones that he won, not the ones that he never got.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, I get it.
But now I feel like we know with LeBron, it's so much of the focus was always on the ones that he didn't get,
right?
Right. But we didn't really do that with Michael. It's just interesting how things.
Well,
play
because
out.
LeBron got to
the finals
versus Michael,
who didn't get to them. But we don't hold that against Michael for not getting to them.
But Michael got to the six that he got to. He won.
Agreed.
LeBron's been to 10 and only won four of them. So it's kind of that's why people play that game. But it's not really a game to play. Like seriously, like right? If they were sitting on the board and one fell off the board and fell to you, you gonna complain?
No.
No, you're not. You're gonna be like, I'll take LeBron, I'll take Kobe, I'll take Magic. Hey, better yet, is there Shaq in the building?
Nope.
Come on, man, stop.
And keep in mind, for those of you too young to remember, maybe you saw it in The Last Dance to cap the last championship, Michael 6-0 in the finals, six MVPs. And remember, as Jay said, he went to go play baseball in between the championships. So if you're too young, remember.
So incredible, man.
He couldn't hit the curveball.
Man, he could not hit the curveball.
That black cat, though, like from a skill, the skills were just sick. I've never seen anybody with skills, like the skill set that he had in his toolbox, never seen anything.
But LeBron
like it.
Got some stuff in his toolbox.
No, I agree.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying, LeBron got stuff in his toolbox. Kobe has stuff in his toolbox. The Diesel has stuff as a big in his toolbox. The Cap will shoot sky hooks from the 3-point line, man.
They're just all so different. Like Kobe and Mike are two guys that kind of mirror each other because of 6'6", shooting guards, the size
and
of frame.
And Kobe kind of copied Michael's style, both on and off the court.
The way he talked.
The talk, the swag, the chewing of the gum.
The championships, the pump.
And that's okay.
That's respect,
you idolize that person, you roll with that.
And it's such a great point you guys make. And I would just say, who's the one person that inextricably links Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant? It's LeBron James.
Yeah.
It's LeBron James. We're asking the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin Nation if this is the greatest championship win in Lakers history. Key is on board absolutely 100%. Yes. However, Key, the Nation going against us. 91% of you guys have said no. Here's an example. At SJDM6515, thanks for hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, basically saying, quote, there's an asterisk. I'd love to see it play out again when not in the bubble. Lack of crowds, distraction, home court advantage has a major impact. Congrats to them, but far from the best Lakers chip ever. You can weigh in on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. 888-8888.
The Lakers would have had home court advantage throughout the whole season. They were number one seed in the West.
Top seed?
Yeah.
Right? Milwaukee never made it. Even though number one overall seed went to Milwaukee, Milwaukee never made it.
But they got to understand where they're playing at in this pandemic in a bubble. I don't think people really understand how hard it is.
Because it's just focused on just basketball, Key. And this is why I keep trying to tell people. What happens in your everyday life translates to the court. Like, look at Montrezl Harrell as a prime example. Montrezl Harrell lost his grandmother. Mm-hmm. You don't think that affected him on the court Clippers, when it came back to the bubble?
Or when you a player, what's the first thing you do when the game is over? You look for your family. Mm-hmm. You go off the court, you get in the shower, locker room, you deal with the media, you come outside, you go to the family room, you walk in, you say, well, where's my kids? Where's my wife? You know, that's not happening in the bubble. That's stressful.
Yeah, I think you guys are sometimes looked at as commodities and not people. And it's one of the biggest mistakes that fans have always made.
That's why I went back to the whole horse comment with Dak, because it's interesting. Like, sometimes as an athlete, when everything is going well, people love you. Mm-hmm. People love you. But then when you go through an injury or you go through something drastic, people move on real quick. What do we have to do? Who else do we need to get? Who else is on our team? Who else is going to help us keep, you know, to the promised land? It happens like that, man. It's fleeting sometimes.
You just got to understand that the athletes are human, too.
Right.
You're not walking up to a glass window looking at them. They're human, too. You can talk to us. We don't bite. I mean, it's,
this
you know.
Is proof positive. I've done that, and you both have responded when I've asked you guys.
We don't need whiners, though. We don't need whiners.
Thank you, Coach Fangio. Get ready for the pass.
Coach Fangio, the Denver Broncos, for now.
Yes, for now.
For now.
So come up, it's could be coming. One more quick programming note I mentioned. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar tomorrow on the show, 9:30 Eastern. Magic Johnson, Urban Magic Johnson, will join First Take, Stephen A. and the gang, at 11 a.m. Eastern. So if you are a dyed-in-the-wool Laker fan like Key, tomorrow morning with us, with the NBA's all-time leading scorer, and then Magic this morning, First Take, 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Key Observations is brought to you by Geico. It's October, and that means Geico-ween. Don't let your savings disappear. Key's big NFL thoughts. Let's start with
Eagles at Steelers.
Well, look, the observation is that the Pittsburgh Steelers are a 14-2, 13-3 type football team. They certainly have found a wide receiver in Claypool, 4 touchdowns for that young man out of Notre Dame. Yesterday, Ben Roethlisberger, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that defense, and some of the things that they're creating on the offense, from an offensive standpoint, there's not just Juju Smith-Schuster. You should keep the name of Juju Smith, but I can't tell him. He already changed it. Pittsburgh is a 14-2 type team, 13-3. Even in that division, that's tough with the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. Can't count Cincinnati in there.
Next up.
Giants at Cowboys.
You know, we saw the injury yesterday to Dak Prescott, and as soon as that happened, the first thing people thought was the Cowboys are finished and within the division. I wouldn't think so at all. You talk about Andy Dalton coming in relief, leading them to victory, connecting multiple times with different receivers. Got to remember, Andy Dalton's been in this league, played in the league for a long time, 9-year NFL career, and has led Cincinnati to playoffs as well. Maybe not wins, but to the playoffs.
Sure.
And he is a very capable, serviceable quarterback. Some would argue still a NFL starting quarterback, depending on the team that he would be playing for. So I'm not shocked. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Cowboys still win the division.
Have people forgot how bad the NFC East is? That's all I'm saying.
Colts at Browns.
This is more about the Cleveland Browns and less about the Indianapolis Colts. Cleveland Browns and Kevin Stefanski have certainly figured out how to win football games. They're 4-1 right now within the division. The blowout loss in week one, they've rebounded from against the Baltimore Ravens. They've got the offense rolling. Baker Mayfield certainly looks like a more than capable, serviceable quarterback. He knows who to get the football to now. They're allowing the run action, play action game to kind of energize this offense. And Myles Garrett coming off the edge from a defensive standpoint puts a lot of pressure on those quarterbacks in the NFL. This team, They might win this division.
So wow. Good not to hear people complain about OBJ being traded anymore. Glad we got over that.
Jaguars at Texans.
The Texans motivated for Romeo Crennel, the oldest head coach in the National Football League, although he's on an interim basis. You never know. If they make a run and make it to the playoffs, he may get re-energized and they may decide to just keep him on full time. You could certainly tell that these players were motivated like hell to win this football game and play for Romeo Crennel. Deshaun Watson finally looked like a quarterback that they gave that money to. Brandon Cooks finally looked like a receiver that they traded for. No missing DeAndre Hopkins yesterday for Romeo Crennel and the Houston Texans.
Vikings at Seahawks.
What more is there to say? He's the MVP as of right now. I know we're only 5 weeks into the season, going into week six, but just hooking up with DK Metcalf consistently for big plays on a drive that engineered that winning movement for the Seattle Seahawks. This team has shifted from a defensive-oriented team to a pass-happy offense. Although Russell Wilson's numbers were not huge yesterday, he certainly knew how to deliver the football and get things done in the air when it counted most.
And that will do it for Keys Observations. Key Observations will have this every single Monday. So essentially, to recap, the Steelers might be the cream of the crop in the AFC. The Cowboys have the Red Rifle, who earlier yesterday looked like a pop gun, but he actually looked pretty good down the stretch. Look out for the Browns. The Texans are back to an extent, and Russell Wilson never went away. Jay, amazing.
Yeah, I just had a question for
Wait, real quick, what's the record in the Texans division? Who's Tennessee? Tennessee's ahead,
well,
right?
Well, Tennessee's undefeated. Remember, yeah, they're 3-0, right. But they haven't played a game since September 27th because obviously they've had games canceled due to COVID. So right now they're sitting at 3-0 with all three wins on a field goal by Guskowski on the final play.
Okay.
I just had a question for Keys takeaways. Last
Observation.
Week, yes. Sorry, I got the wording wrong. Last weekend, mm-hmm. when Green Bay played the Falcons, you came in studio mm-hmm. and said that Aaron Rodgers had a slight edge on Russell Wilson for MVP.
Yes, I did say that.
Okay, so now that you just watched Russell Wilson play again and sling it late, now he has a slight edge on Aaron Rodgers? I'm just trying to...
Yes,
I'm,
that
it's
is
like
correct.
Contact tracing. If you, I'm just trying to make sure I'm in tune with you on how this race is playing out in your mind.
Popsicle, if you listen and slow down, I said last week, Aaron Rodgers had a slight edge. And then I said,
that's what I just said.
Let's see what Russell Wilson does against the Vikings this week. We can go back to the tape if you don't believe me.
No. Okay.
And Aaron Rodgers has a bye this week. So, yes, damn it, he is ahead as of right now. Leave me alone, man. Don't be trying to mess with me.
You keep saying that basketball players are so sensitive. What do you mean?
Y'all are sensitive.
Hey, man.
Man, y'all hear everything.
Is it basketball players or is it wide receivers?
No, receivers, they scared of us. They think we out of control.
Well,
should have seen when I first took this job at ESPN. Don't say anything to him. I'm walking on eggshells. I'm like, man, I'm human. I ain't going to do nothing to y'all.
I'm not going
to
bite.
Be nice to him. We saw him on national TV scream at the coach.
We got to head back to the Cowboys here. I love your assertion here. It's a strong, bold prediction that they can win the division with Andy Dalton. Jay brought up.
But why is it strong?
Yeah, was that strong?
Why is it strong?
It's the NFC East, Zubin.
It's the NFC East, and you got a quarterback. I don't mean to jump on you like that. Yeah. But you got a quarterback, Zubin, that has played in this league.
By the way, our producer, great one-liner. Evan, the Cowboys still have the best quarterback in the division.
But think about
with
that.
With Andy Dalton, I mean.
They do. Better, as of right now.
Better. I know Wentz is struggling, but. Does he have the runway to get better?
You know Wentz. Did you see Wentz yesterday?
I did see him yesterday.
Okay. Did you see him the week before?
I saw him all season. It's been
and the
tough.
The week before that?
It's been tough.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I mean.
Wentz ain't ready. So I don't know what's wrong with Wentz.
Okay.
But Andy Dalton came in relief yesterday. And it was against the Giants. I get it.
Right.
But he looked fine. He looked fine. And so imagine a week with preparation as the starter. What they can do. They also can run the ball with Ezekiel Elliott and don't have to feel pressured to throw the ball all over the lot with Dak Prescott. They can get back to maybe running the football a little more effective. And so I look at that, I'm like, okay, they can win the division. It's just like, y'all act like Andy Dalton was just chopped liver. I mean, I know he got a bad rap in Cincinnati and they moved on from him with Joe Burrow and all those sort of things. But this is one of those situations where you might look up and he may be Tannehill. where he gets a rebirth. Mm-hmm. And Tannehill wasn't as good as Dalton was in Cincinnati. Tannehill wasn't that good in Miami like that.
No doubt about it.
And I also say this. What does it say that we're still saying that the Cowboys are the best team in that division? You see how bad their defense is? I mean, you gave up 34 points to the Giants. It's just that their secondary is always going to be the issue, Key. That's what we're going to that's going to be the one thing that's going to hinder them.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Monday Night Football's Lou Riddick. We'll get into Dak. We'll get into the Browns. We'll get into Andy Dalton. Everything with Monday Night Football's Lou Riddick coming up at 9:30 Eastern. Wentz, by the way, threw a pick in his fifth straight game. And, of course, we should mention the Eagles have played five games, so that's a pick.
A pick waiting to happen.
No doubt about it. Big Ben certainly outplayed him in the Battle of the Keystone State. On the way, our Dan Orlovsky, who spent a dozen years playing quarterback in the NFL, with one very interesting observation on Lamar Jackson you may have missed yesterday.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Those are the words of Mike McCarthy, Cowboys head coach, on what happened to Dak Prescott yesterday. And we talked about a great story. Well, you don't have to look very far. Elsewhere in the NFC East, the Washington football team's Alex Smith had his recovery, and it was a great story and a return. Obviously, his injury far more severe than that of Dak Prescott. But when you think about everything that's on the line for Prescott, betting on himself this particular season, looking for a gigantic deal that he chose to pass when the Cowboys offered, it all comes right into focus. This is a gigantic story in the NFL. That's saying something. There were some big stories yesterday. Dan Orlovsky, as I mentioned, dozen years in the NFL, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. We'll talk about Baker, Big Ben, and Lamar in a second. But Dan, we have got to start with Dak. What were your thoughts as a QB when you thought and moving forward?
Yeah, I think in that moment, it just took everybody on an emotional journey, you know, like heartbroken, obviously. And then, you know, Dak's kind of story off the field and the pain that he's felt, and then the journey on the field performance, and then contract negotiations. Like, you just felt that moment, you know, when he's being carted off the field and he raises that fist up. It's like the defining image of the NFL season so far. And so, you know, it's one that's, we throw around brotherhood and family a lot in sports, those two phrases. Mm-hmm. The reason we do, it's real. You know, it's a very real thing, and I think you saw that from all the coaches and the teammates that walked out there. You know, when he raises that fist, man, it's an emotional time, and so it's a very difficult thing to see. But I think also in that moment, you go, like, that's the franchise quarterback. Like, that question's closed, all right? And I've been even part of that conversation. I think watching the teammates respond, that question is now answered. He's the franchise quarterback, Jerry Jones, and there's no way you can see the response yesterday and not feel that way. I think the really challenging part, Z and Key, is, like, you know, we often say, like, move forward, right? Next man up. This is not that. Like, this is not that. Like, Michael Gallup doesn't know offensive football without number four. Amari Cooper doesn't know offensive football. Walking out on the huddle on Wednesday, they don't know what life is like without Dak Prescott. He's their leader, not just the quarterback. And so just a brutal day, brutal moment. And it's one that I think is going to be very difficult to kind of just get past in 24 hours.
Clearly, we hope that health-wise he makes a full recovery.
Oh, surely.
But just looking at it and having been somebody who's broken my ankle before, it's one of those deals. It's just like, man, I could – watching him, I felt that pain.
Yeah.
Because I've done the same felt thing it, before. Yeah. I felt it. I was sitting there saying to myself – man, and I know that that's burning sensation. Plus everything you mentioned, his family, the situation and dealing with his family, his contract situation. So when that happens, the first thing comes to my mind is all of those things and his money.
Right.
Because that is why we play this game, is for our money. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he did not get a long-term deal done at that time, it's like, damn.
And that's the, like, the the ugly part of the reality of the business, right? Is like that happens, and naturally we all go to like, okay, what does this mean for his contract? I just cannot imagine him playing somewhere else other than Dallas next year now.
No, like, I think.
But Key, I didn't feel that way on Saturday. I thought it was more likely that he would never play again in
really?
Dallas. Yes. Just because I think at some point you get tired of being disrespected, right? As a player, and Jerry, I think, had kind of made it, you know, very clear, like, I didn't want to get past a certain number, but I don't see there's any chance that he plays somewhere else now because of that single moment. I don't think that Jerry Jones could look at his team and go, "Ah, we're gonna move on. We feel like we're a better."
It doesn't.
Right? There's no way.
You've got to give him a short term deal and let him rehab to see where he's at before you make that decision to move on.
But or franchise tag.
Felt,
yeah,
I've always felt like though that because of the way he was playing, that they were probably going to win the division, make some sort of little playoff run, and based on where he was at, he was going to finish somewhere in that MVP conversation, and they were going to wind up getting a deal done. The numbers would have changed, you know, because the market changed.
Absolutely.
But I thought they would have gotten a deal done.
We should mention, Dan, to move on, this is interesting. Yesterday, Lamar Jackson had 3 rushing yards.
Yeah.
3 rushing yards, and they threw the ball near 40 times. What do you think about their offense? Yes, it was an easy win, but what do you see from their own?
Bad. You know, Key, were we on NFL Live this week talking about the Ravens? Like, I've got issues with the Ravens offense
last
for
week.
A couple weeks now. They just don't look the same. You know, like, this is a team that in the first half yesterday threw the ball 27 times with Lamar.
Too many.
What are we doing? 37 times in total for 3 rushing attempts. Like, it seems like they're trying to figure out their passing game in games. Their passing game right now is atrocious. It is like, hey, Lamar, go make something happen. There's no rhythm to it. There's no vertical threat at all. And this offense looks nothing like it did last year. They're averaging, Z, 5 yards per play in drop-back football. That's 28th in the NFL right now. Last year, they were 2nd behind Mahomes. And so, listen, they miss Marshall Yanda. Their offensive line's not playing well. Greg Roman's not calling good games. Lamar's got no vertical threat in the passing game right now. There's no rhythm in their offense. Their run game is very poor, so they're not dictating to the defense is what they want to do anymore. This is a good football team. Their defense is playing great, and we're going to, you know, winning in the NFL covers a lot of things. It does not cure a lot of things, and it is covering a very pedestrian offense right now in Baltimore, and it's going to catch up to them at some point against good teams.
And when they get clean and smooth, Z, as I've always said, like Dan is saying, no herky jerk, just clean and smooth, kind of like they were last year, then this will be a team that you can be afraid of in the playoffs. But until then, just one-sided, that's not going to work. You've got to have something other than defense. If you're running the ball well, run the ball well. If you're throwing it well, throw the ball well. But guess what? They're not doing either well. But they, you know, Cincinnati. They beat Cincinnati, right? Pittsburgh's playing phenomenal, and so is Cleveland.
What do you make of both of those teams?
Yeah. I had picked Pittsburgh to win the division before the season because I thought the Ravens would really miss Yanda. I think Pittsburgh offensively has been better than I thought. You know, 5 weeks into the season, I think the 2 biggest questions for that team were, okay, what is Big Ben going to actually look like? And do they really have like a number one-ish type of receiver? And I think we've got those questions answered. Like, Big Ben is playing big-time football, and he's seeing the field really well, and he understands what he has around him. And Claypool is coming on. This is not just a one-game thing. I know yesterday was a really big day for him, but he's been good since the start of this season. And he's kind of proven to be a what maybe we thought Juju Smith-Schuster was going to be. But the thing is, now Juju is in his most comfortable role as well, like being a really, really good number two receiver. The defense hasn't been as good as I thought it would be. But I also go like, all right, that's the case with any level of football right now, is the offenses are ahead of the defenses. I think this defense will continue to kind of show some signs of what they were last year. In regards to the Browns are the Titans from last year. Big ball play action early on, take a lead, salt you away in the run game. Their defense is still just okay. Way too many communications problems. But I will say this about the Browns. I am concerned about Baker Mayfield in the fourth quarters. The past 2 weeks, Baker Mayfield has been asked to kind of end games, put games away in the fourth quarter. And he's been able to do that. Fourth quarter the past 2 weeks, he's 7 of 18. A touchdown and two picks. And he's got the worst QBR in football in fourth quarters. At some point, that's going to show itself. And maybe it didn't yesterday. But at some point, he's going to have to go win a game in the fourth quarter. And I get a little bit hesitation saying I'm confident he'll do that.
One step at a time, Dan, right? You just, we needed to fix week one.
Sure.
We got that fixed.
Sure.
And then we needed to fix week two. We got that fixed. Now we need to fix the fourth quarter. So hopefully Kevin Stefanski and the offensive staff will look at the fourth quarter and realize he's thrown two picks. He was 7 of 18 or whatever it was. Now we need to fix that, because if we're truly asking him, we need a big-time throw in a tight squeeze game. We need to have the confidence that he's able to do it. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll fix it. And I like the fact that week one, they got run out of the building. But ever since then, they've just keep getting better and better and better. And they've kind of figured out what they are. They're a big play-action pass team. They like to run the football. They like a lot of play-action pass. And they like to get him out on the perimeter and do things with the football. They figured out OBJ. They figured out Landry. Figure out the back end of that defense in the secondary, and then I think you'll be talking about Pittsburgh and Cleveland for the division and not Baltimore.
Great stuff. We're going to see you today, NFL Live, 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
Yes,
look
sir.
Forward to that. Of course, Key, your partner, will join you later in the week, as
yeah,
always.
Yeah, later in the week. I'll see you Wednesday.
Wednesday and Thursday.
I have better things to do right now. Oh,
he's too busy for us in the beginning of the week.
It's that quarterback wide receiver connection. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. If you're not familiar with Claypool, look him up. Young kid from Notre Dame that Dan was talking about. He's from Canada. His nickname is Maple Tron, playing off the Megatron for Calvin Johnson. That's a little fun.
Creative.
He was a great high school football player in Canada. Didn't actually play hockey. Still to come, our Cowboys reporter, who's with them 24/7, 365, on what was being said in the locker room.
Money, Dan.
After Dak's Bong! Devastating injury. That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
For some straight talk, you know what a full court press is in basketball, right? Full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's kind of the coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as big carriers, but for a lot less. Just $45 a month. Get you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data. Then 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers. No contract, full court coverage, 50% less. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
That visual of him holding his ankle sideways just made me sick to my stomach, Key. Just made my heart stop beating.
Well, wow. When it first took place, you go directly to his contract situation. I'm like, damn. Because he didn't sign a long-term extension. And I would be a fool not to think that. He's going to play again, but will he be the same?
That's something that Key has said, and a lot of people are wondering. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. If you are happy as a Laker fan this morning, you will be thrilled to know Dave McMenamin, who's been a part of the team covering them for years for ESPN, will join us at 9.05 a.m. Eastern. I imagine if you're a Laker fan today, nothing can wipe the smile off your face, just like Keyshawn Johnson. So once again, Dave McMenamin here at 9.05. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Straight to it for Dak. Prior to yesterday, he had never missed a start in the NFL. Never missed one. Obviously now, with the 4 to 6 months off after the compound fracture, that streak comes to an end. Last year, he played through mental pain. Last two games of the season, played with the injured right shoulder. In the offseason, the anguish about his brother and admitting he had depression and anxiety and everything that went with it. And the fact that prior to yesterday, he had missed two snaps all season, and both were when he had to check out of a game to get tested for a concussion. As tough as they come. But now the toughness will really begin. Ezekiel Elliott and company, without their leader, the rest of the season. Zeke pretty stark on what it means.
Yeah, it sucks. I know we won, but it just sucks to lose Dak, our leader. I was talking to the guys. It's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us to fill that void that we're going to be missing from four. And we just got to go out there and play for him.
I know the large percentage of you are listening on the radio, but we have shown this video of Dak Prescott getting injured time and time again this morning. And every time Key sees it, Key winces, turns the other way. It's almost like looking at a car wreck. You just got to look the other way.
It was not a pretty sight to see. I mean, it's, you know, obviously it's video and it's being run all over the country, but I've been in that situation before, so I know that pain. Mm-hmm. I've broke my ankle, so I know how painful that is.
Let's head to Todd Archer. He covers the Cowboys on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line 24/7, 365. All right, so we just heard from Ezekiel Elliott. What were some of the other guys, Todd, saying in the locker room after that devastating injury?
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb said one of the first things he did when he got into the locker room was text Dak to say thank you. Thank you for helping him so far in his young career, just a rookie receiver, and helping him reach some of the goals that he's already reached, 200-yard games in the first five 200-yard games in the first 5 weeks of the season. Andy Dalton, who obviously benefited from Dak's departure, saying, you hate this for anybody, but especially for Dak, because he's seen how hard he has worked and how he's prepared himself to be ready to play. It was just in the stadium when it happened, and there were only 25,000 fans or so in there, a hush got over the crowd. You saw the Giants' reaction to it. A lot of former Cowboys coaches on that staff beyond Jason Garrett, a lot of former people tied to that organization used to be around Dak all the time. So I thought the outpouring of support from Dak in the stadium, from his teammates, from the Giants and throughout the league showed just the respect that he has really from everybody across the NFL.
Todd, you know, it's hard to talk about a devastating injury, obviously, but in this situation, not only do we talk about the injury, but we talk about the future. In the future is the contract with the Dallas Cowboys. What happens in the offseason? How could they address this?
Right, and this is all the options remain, right, Key? It's they can still franchise tag him, which would cost $37.7 million. They can still work out a long-term deal, maybe not as lucrative as it once was, or maybe structured in a completely different way that the money would might be on par, but how he earns it would be different, or they let him test the free agent market. Is this Drew Brees in 2006 when he signs with New Orleans after suffering a shoulder injury in the final game or final couple weeks in San Diego? Is this Teddy Bridgewater when he hurt his knee up in Minnesota and had to go through his long path? The way this injury has been explained to me, though, is this is almost exactly like Allen Hurns' injury the former Cowboys receiver, was hurt in the playoff game against Seattle a couple of years ago. He was back in Cowboys practice in the offseason program, did everything in training camp, and was playing again. The belief from the people that I talked to inside the organization last night is that Dak will be back and playing. And the question is, how do you work through this contract deal? An already complicated situation on a variety of levels through the CBA, COVID-19, and all these things now becomes even more complicated based on his health and where he'll be by the time we get to next March, and what you won't know about where he is and his ability to come back.
Todd, do you simply franchise him and see what happens in, let's say, April, as you go into OTAs and mini camps to see where he's at before you start to get into a long-term contract situation?
Well, you could tag him in March. That guarantees him the $37.7 million, and you'll have until next July 15th to sign him to a long-term deal. So it's a good point, Key, that you can use that time, but by the time you tag him in March, until to work on a long-term deal and to see where he is physically. So, you know, that's a lot of money to tie up, especially with a salary cap coming down. And you hate even discussing the finances of this thing so close to the injury, where that should be the last thing that we should be concentrating on. We should concentrate on his health. But this is the nature of the sport, and we've been talking about Dak's contract for 2 years now. And he took a risk last year playing on $2 million, and even this year playing on $31 million, to where an injury in this sport eventually kind of gets everybody, and it's got him now. And I think the you know Jerry better than a lot of people here, Keyshawn. Jerry will do what's right by Dak, in my view. Is that signing him to the contract they offered him last July, last June? I don't know about that, but I don't think there's any way that they're going to let Dak leave the Cowboys in 2021.
That seems to be the concurrent opinion of many other financials. To keep in mind, Andy Dalton, his replacement, signed a $3 million deal, $7 million with incentives, and he clearly, to many, is the best backup quarterback in the NFL. So if there is any silver lining to this at all, is that the guy that was one snap away is probably better than the other 31 guys at the position in the league. Todd, thank you very much.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
I think he'll figure out, Jerry and Stephen Jones will figure out how to get a deal done beyond this year. I don't know if it'll be a long-term deal or what the situation is, but he'll be in a Cowboy uniform next season.
I mean, you got to make the best of it for anybody. It's just, you know, we're always going to wonder. I know he probably will too. Like, what if this didn't happen?
What if? Those two words. Still to come, two of America's greatest franchises on opposite ends of the sports spectrum yesterday.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.